All right, remember, the machine knows if you're lying. First statement, Carvana will give you a real offer on your car all online.
False.
True, actually. Oh. You can sell your car in minutes.
False? That's gotta be...
True again. Carvana will pick up your car from your door, or you can drop it off at one of their car vending machines.
Sounds too good to be true, so true!
Finally caught on. Nice job. Honesty isn't just their policy, it's their entire model. Sell your car today, too.
Carvana.
Pickup fees may apply.
This is The Brain, and you're listening to the GeekCast Radio Network. Yes!
Hello and welcome to TuneCast Beyond. I am one of your hosts, Steve, your Mike, and joining me for the first time on the GeekCast Radio Network is Sketch, 1984. Hello, sir.
Hello.
Yes. I've only podcasted with you one other time, and that was a freaking train wreck. I'll never do that again.
Bring that up.
Never do that again.
I don't think that episode even got officially released.
Wait, the episode I was on never got released?
No, I got lazy and the whole podcast just kind of fell apart.
So I was put through that hell for nothing?
Oh, I wouldn't say for nothing. Okay, mostly for nothing. I believe I made the radio edit to play on tuneradio.net. Mm-hmm. And that happened, but I didn't release the full version of the episode on the website before everything just kind of went to pot with that podcast.
There's something really
wrong. I could always go back and do it if you want me to.
No. There's something really wrong with that guy, though. He's so not a Transformers fan whatsoever. Anyways.
let's not go there. We actually, instead of doing the cartoon podcast and their other podcast, we kind of combined the two.
Yeah.
And now every week there's one episode that's about animation and comics news, and then there's one episode that is about particular shows, and we just did a Transformers episode of that. And well, it was a whole lot of Don talking, pretty much.
Oh,
it's like, I'm not sure what I can add to this.
If I would have, like, I forget, somebody asked me from the podcast feed. I don't know if it was you or if it was one of the other people that you host with. And that's why I said hell no, because they're like, would you ever be on a podcast with Don again? I'm like, hell no. If I was maybe given some context, because I now have the Prime Season 1 DVD in hand, because I got it for review, you know, maybe...
Oh, you got it for review too, huh?
Yeah, maybe I would have come on and just totally debunked every single thing he probably had to say, but...
He warmed up to Prime, finally.
Okay. Well, that's good.
He still likes animated better, but, you know.
Hey, to each their own. Whatever.
Exactly.
So we are here and we are still talking about the goddamn Batman. This will probably be the last Batman-centric podcast episode here in Season 1 Superheroes of TuneCast Beyond, as we've finished all the DC Universe movies. We've got those done. We just wrapped up The Batman from 2004. That was episode 15, so that was last week's episode.
I'm going to have to listen to that one because I am interested to hearing what people thought of that one.
And tonight we are here to talk about a Drew Carey character, Oswald, voicing Batman in Batman the Brave and the Bold. Oh my God. Somebody kill me now.
Yes, yeah. Steve Batter is not the...
Diedrich Bader.
He's not the most conventional choice for voicing Batman, that is for sure.
That is very true. Now, just to kind of really set the stage for people, Brave and the Bold is an American animated television series based in part on the DC Comics series The Brave and the Bold, which features two or more superheroes coming together to solve a crime or foil a supervillain. As the title suggests, the cartoon focuses on Batman's regular team-ups with various heroes, similar to the most well-known version of the original comic book series. The series premiered November 14, 2008 on Cartoon Network and the United States and ended on November 18, 2011. Oh, wow.
Almost exactly 3 years.
Well, it was 3 years. It wasn't 3 years to the day, but it was three years and 4 days later.
Yeah.
All right, so there's setting the stage for you people. Tooncast Beyond, we have two different formats. We have a format for shows like this, and we have a format for movies. The last time we used the show format was actually way back in episode one when we talked about the Superhero Squad. Exactly. And from episode two to episode 14, we used the movie format. So this is a completely different format, and all thanks go to Optimus Solo for putting these formats together for us.
It's a very lovely script.
Yes.
Very professional. much more professional than anything I've ever dealt with a podcast. It's always like, okay, so here's what we're going to talk about, and we're not really going to list all the things we're going to talk about. You know, you get the idea.
Yeah, we have to have a plan here at Geekcast Radio Network. So I'm going to let you go with your first impressions when you first saw this. Before you saw the show, when you first heard about it, what were your impressions or thoughts about it? We can possibly discuss, you know, obviously character designs, animation style, stuff like that. And at the end, how much of it have you seen now at this point?
How much have I seen?
Yeah,
I've seen, I want to say more than half of the show. There's a few episodes here and there that I didn't see.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't the easiest show to keep track of when the premieres were happening.
Well, that's something we'll get into. What were your overall first impressions of when you first heard about it?
Okay. Well, the knee-jerk reaction when I first saw the production art was, what is this? I don't even... It looked... very, very ridiculous, very kiddish, very cartoony. You know, you could feel the kind of Super Friends vibe from it, and the characters seemed kind of stocky and not very well proportioned. So yeah. Those initial production art that I think was first shown at Cartoon Network's Upfront in 2008... was a little jarring, but I wanted to give it the benefit of the doubt. We had just, you know, freshly come off The Batman.
Yep.
And I figured, well, I didn't hate The Batman, but probably can do better than The Batman. So let's see how this turns out. The idea of mixing Batman with a bunch of lesser-known DC heroes was appealing from the start, though it was off-putting to hear that they weren't going to use Superman and Wonder Woman and a notable Green Lantern anytime soon, and they made that very clear from the start.
So you're saying Guy Gardner is not a notable Green Lantern?
Oh, okay. I'm not a comic book guy. I must admit, I am not a comic book guy, but Guy Gardner? Come on.
okay,
forget about it.
Yeah.
Give me Hal Jordan. Give me
Kyle Rayner, John Stewart, anybody.
John Stewart. Give me John Stewart again. I love John Stewart.
Yeah. For me, first impressions. oh boy, where do I even begin? Go back to the mid-90s or late-90s and watch a couple episodes of The Drew Carey Show. Pay attention to a character named Oswald. And there you go. There's the next Batman. Oh my God. Like, I have no problem with Dedrick Bader in anything else he does except for this show. His voice, and I know from talking to people and getting into arguments with people on the internet about this, because obviously that's what the internet's there for, is to get into arguments with people. But, you know, I know that this cartoon is mainly based, for the fans, it's based in the Silver Age, and that's all well and good, but like you, I'm not a comic book guy. I may look like him, because I'm, 300 and something pounds, but I have no interest.
Oh, worst joke ever.
Shut up. when I first saw this, I was like, okay, wait a minute. Since when is Batman based in space? And since when does he like transport dimensions and times? And I just didn't understand it. And I get the kiddie angle of it. But at the same time, when I first saw this, I was like, I don't know how kids can even like this. I just don't get it at all. At the time when it first premiered in 2008, the only really awesome thing for me, because I had seen like the first three episodes, was the theme song. The theme song is pretty kick-ass. The Batmobile, the look of the Batmobile is pretty kick-ass. Other than that, I could not stand this show 4 years ago. I just could not stand it. Oh, God. And as far as Cartoon Network, I'm thinking that once over at Geekcast Radio, once we finish out the music spotlight, we just need to have a general overall episode about how fucked up Cartoon Network is. Because they screw superhero shows over so many times.
Definitely in recent years.
The
interesting thing about Batman, the Brave and the Bold, and I suppose this isn't necessarily Cartoon Network's fault, but it was the only DC cartoon airing new episodes from 2008 to 2010.
Yeah.
2 years before Young Justice showed up.
Yeah, and then Young Justice showed up, which we will be covering on this podcast eventually. I don't know. So those are our first impressions. We're going to be switching gears and talking about the who's who of the show with the voice actors and everything else. And I've provided a link from BehindTheVoiceActors.com, which they do a side-by-side comparison of the character and the voice actor that portrayed them. You have such people as... why is Jeff Bennett listed as Batman Bruce Wayne? They need to change that to Dedrick Bader. Damn it.
I think it's his singing voice.
Oh, okay.
In you the got, Music Meister.
Yeah, that was really popular. It got its own soundtrack for that. Plastic Man is played by Tom Kenny. Green Arrow. Oliver Queen is played by James Arnold Taylor. Blue Beetle is played by Will Friedle. John DiMaggio plays Aquaman, Arthur Curry. Now, I know that people gravitated towards Aquaman and his idiosyncrasies, I guess you could say. Give me Scott Rummel's JLU Aquaman any day over this.
Outrageous!
I'm going to have to find that clip and put it in there somewhere in the show.
actually, in the first episode Aquaman showed up, he was... not quite as campy. He played pretty seriously, and then I guess that changed pretty quick. But
yeah,
it was weird because I was watching the first episode he showed up, and it's all about him and his brother's conflict, and Batman's trying to protect Aquaman. And Aquaman was, every now and then he would say something silly, but most of the time he was pretty much dead serious. Well, that didn't last. I think at one point somebody was like, hey, John, just have fun.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, other voice actors that are on the show, Kevin Michael Richardson, Lex Lang, Dee Bradley Baker, Greg Ellis, Will Wheaton was on a few episodes. Do you have any like favorite characters or favorite voice actors that did characters in this?
Ooh. Let me see here. Going down the list. Well, some of my favorites were actually pretty much cameos.
Yeah.
Where you had Kevin Conroy as the Phantom Stranger and Mark Hamill as Spectra.
Yeah.
And they got Adam West in here as Mr. Wayne. Oh, let's see. Oh, yeah, I really like Neil Patrick Harris as the Music Meister. That was a really fun episode. And I feel like there's something I'm forgetting. John DiMaggio was in pretty much every episode of this show, and so was Kevin Michael Richardson.
Yeah,
and,
pretty much.
Who's the other guy who gets a lot of play in this? Obviously, D. Bradley Baker and Jeff Bennett and James Arnold Taylor.
Yeah, some of the special guests are really interesting. You have Arlie Ermey playing Wildcat. I thought that was really cool. I saw that episode. I thought that was pretty good.
Yeah, I watched that episode today. I was like, why have I heard that voice before? And I looked it up. Oh, that makes it. Oh, of course, Tom Kenny is Plastic Man. I love Tom Kenny is Plastic Man. That is brilliant casting. And you know Tom absolutely adores that character because he worked on that pilot for a series, and now it's going to be shorts on the DC Nation.
Yeah, very awesome. Over on the telecast, we just finished recording. It hasn't been released yet, I don't think. I'm not sure at this point. It might. It's probably been released by the time this goes up. We just recorded Pee-wee's Playhouse, and Paul Reubens plays Batmite.
Oh, right. yes, Paul Reubens.
Between Super Batman of Planet X or whatever the episode title is, where they go to where the Kevin Conroy plays the alternate Batman. Between that episode and the Batmite episodes, those are my highlights for this show. Oh man, you know, just a bunch of really awesome voice actors and voice actresses as well.
It's overall an exceptional cast.
Yeah. Yeah, very much so. Now we're going to go into the what we found really great about the show, what we found kind of mediocre, and what was just plain fugly. I just can't watch this show. It's like I can watch an episode here and there, but more than two episodes at a time, and I'm just like gone. It's just so over the top, so cheesy. I mean, I would much rather watch a marathon of 66 Batman Camp versus watching this cartoon. I don't know. I just don't know. Do you have any notes about what you thought was good or horrible? Or
if there's one thing I could say about this show in the sea of modern action cartoons, is it's the least boring. At least until Young Justice came along.
Yeah.
It's a really fun show. It has its serious moments. It doesn't, you know, get moody per se, but it has its serious moments. It has its fun moments. It has its silly. It's exciting. I consider it basically the whole package with a superhero show. It is a little cheesier than some people would care for, especially if you're used to, oh, I don't know, Batman the Animated Series, which is marvelous.
Yes.
You can't look at this as not as good as Batman the Animated Series. It's a completely different kind of show.
Right, it is. It is. And, go ahead.
You know, I think that people who feel like they can't enjoy this show just need to give it a couple of episodes, because it's really a brilliant show, all things considered. The writers know their stuff. There's lots of great nods to old comic books. Like, once again, I'm not a comic book person, so I don't fully appreciate these nods, but I know them when I see them. Right. Because they're pretty obvious.
Yeah. I think this is the only Batman cartoon that Batmite has had the most screen time in.
Oh, definitely. Batmite got its... Oh, there's all kinds of crazy things that happened in this show. There was one part where Batman teamed up with Space Ghost.
Hmm.
That... And just seeing Space Ghost animated with... Well, it was basic same design, but animated with new animation. It was marvelous.
Huh.
I love that kind of stuff. There are all kinds of fun stuff in this show that they did a nice homage to the Scooby-Doo crossovers they used to do.
Yep.
In that episode, Batman's Strangest Cases, they had that mad comic story, and they had the Bat manga story as well. You know, it was funny because after I saw that episode, I was at a used bookstore and I came across that Bat manga. I didn't have the money to buy it at the time, but I wish I did. Now, it's just a ridiculously fun show. I looked forward to every episode every week once I got hooked, but I must admit, it took a while to get me hooked. It was good from the beginning, but it didn't get great until some point later on.
Yeah.
There were a few really good episodes early on, but there were other episodes that felt kind of preachy, teachy.
Yeah.
Now, Batman's trying to show new young heroes what it is to be a hero. And, yeah.
So basically what you're saying is it got preachy from episode one. I mean, because the first episode is the Blue Beetle episode. Yeah, he's trying to teach. Yeah. For me, I just, like, mainly the thing is I can't get over Bader voicing Batman. I know that's a very trivial and very nitpicky thing, but I just can't get over it.
It's unconventional, but I think it works for this Batman.
It does. I will agree with that. It does work for this Batman.
It wouldn't work for other Batman.
No, not
even a little bit.
No, yeah.
It works for this Batman. And yes. He even was able to play the very serious scene in Chill of the Night about Batman confronting Joe Chill very well. Yeah. I was very impressed with that acting.
Yeah, that was a really good episode. I did see that one. What really made me crack up in this was the Joker mobile.
Yes. Well, in this show, they basically made Joker everything Batman but evil.
Right, yeah. And I mean, like, a show like this, you can't have, you know, oh, I've been stored away in Tim Drake for years through this little microchip thing just waiting to come out at the right. You know, you can't have
fit at all.
Yeah, no, it wouldn't have fit at all. You can't have the DCAU Mark Hamill, you know, manic Joker from before and then going to the Dark Joker in Return of the Joker. You can't have that in this series because this series, I know people are going to, you know, write in comments and everything else and say, oh, you're wrong, it's not campy. But let's face it, a lot of these episodes are very campy. There's a lot of campy.
No, nobody can say this show is not campy. You can't say that. It is very campy.
It reminds me of 66 Batman. I know that's gonna sound, you know, bad, but it reminds me of that pow zang thing. And of course, it would be kind of cool if the cartoon actually did that, but it would have been funny. It would have been a nice little funny nod. They might have done it once or twice, but I don't think I caught those episodes. Overall, it's not the worst Batman cartoon to ever be produced, but it's not the best either. You know, certain people, certain fans are going to absolutely love this for what it is, and other fans are just going to, you know, relive memories of the DCAU. All right, so in the next section, we're going to talk about how this show stacks up. The first three kind of like questions that we've got here is, the first one is, how does the show compare to other shows within the same franchise? Okay, so
that's such an unfair scale.
I know. Because do we want to count?
How does this compare to the greatest action show ever made?
Right. But hold on. Do we want to count New Adventures of Batman and Robin? The not the BTAS New Adventures. The Casey Kasem, the old Scooby Doo stuff. The 80s.
Well, if you want to count that. Honestly, it comes down very simply for me. It's the best Batman other than animated series for me.
Okay.
Well, I guess I have to qualify Batman Beyond in there somewhere. So maybe the third best Batman.
Yeah. For me, I would probably rank it fourth. And my top three are BTAS, Batman Beyond, The Batman, and then Brave and the Bold.
Really? You rank the Batman higher than Brave and the Bold? And I don't hate The Batman. Yeah, I thought The Batman got pretty good later on.
Yeah, I really enjoyed The Batman later on, like after season three. I know this business show only has five seasons, but I know that, you know, it's just one of those things where... I don't know. It's just one of those things where I enjoyed that more than I did
this.
The
first season was pretty bad. The second season got better. But the third, fourth, and fifth were a very enjoyable show.
The fifth season is the only one I actually bought on DVD at the time. But, I mean, I think this show, as I already stated, this show has a certain fan base niche. Yes, it is marketed towards kids a bit, but it's also marketed towards those Silver Age comic book fans. And
it's
that's
very
all...
much a show for kids and their dads.
Yeah.
And they even show that in the final episode when a kid and his dad are watching the show as it's happening.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And then they leave.
they leave because Batmite's ruining everything.
Yeah. The next question is, as far as how does it stack up against shows in the same genre? So the superhero genre. Oh boy, this is a doozy, because you've got stuff like Young Justice, you've got stuff like Superman the Animated Series, you've got BTAS Beyond again. You've got Justice League and Justice League Unlimited. I mean, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I wish Kevin never had this question in here. But anyway, for me, I would watch any of the shows I just listed before I watch this.
I think this is probably in my top 10.
It's probably in my top 10, but it's like 9 or 10. I mean, it's not like... you know, one or two. It's, you know, when I think of a Batman cartoon or anything Batman centric, I don't go and say, hey, I'm going to watch an episode of Brave and the Bold. You know, I'll say, hey, I'm going to watch, you know, Old Wounds from BTAS, or I'm going to watch Monkey Fun from Superman the Animated Series, or I'm going to watch Once and Future Thing from Justice League Unlimited. You know,
actually, I'm kind of the opposite because of the episodic nature of this show.
Mm-hmm.
And the replay value for me personally, I'm probably more inclined to pick up a random episode of this show than a great many other superhero shows that take maybe a little bit more dedication in watching.
Yeah. And that's understandable. All right. How does it stack up against other shows in its time slot? Okay, now, here's the thing. I don't know if this show ever changed nights. I know it's changed time slots on
Friday
night.
It's generally always premiered on Friday nights.
On Friday night, right. So the other shows that I know that Cartoon Network airs on Friday nights is Star Wars The Clone Wars, the 2008 series, Thundercats, Young Justice, and Ben 10. The only reason why I know this is because I've seen the advertisements on it. For me, I would
also
take...
Also Generator Rex.
Yeah, Generator Rex is in there too. For me, I would take Thundercats and Young Justice over this any day.
It's a little too early for me to call Thundercats and Young Justice yet. I like both a whole lot.
Yeah.
I think in the long run, they will be better shows than Brave and the Bold.
Well, if they get picked up for a second season.
Yeah, I doubt either of them will get to go 65 episodes.
That sucks.
Which is unfortunate.
Yes.
But I guess that's the one benefit of being the one Warner Brothers action show between 2008 and 2010.
Yeah.
It's heads and tails above Ben 10 and Generator Rex, which...
Oh, yeah. I don't think... And again, you really can't compare it to the Clone Wars, because the Clone Wars, at this point, at the point of Brave and the Bold's cancellation, Clone Wars was just starting their fourth season. And that's a whole other... You can't compare the Star Wars universe to Silver Age Batman. You just can't. I mean, there's so much there in the Star Wars that they've done.
Well, it's a bit more like Silver Age DC versus Star Wars.
Yeah.
I never particularly cared for the Clone Wars. I probably should try watching it again, but the first season bored me to tears, and I never started watching after that.
Yeah. And the final one is, which show from a previous decade is this show most comparable to? For me, as I've already stated, I find this most comparable to, I know it's bad, but Kevin doesn't say cartoon, he says show in the script. I find it most comparable to Adam West, Burt Ward, Batman 66.
That's not really within the decade, though it is re-airing on the Hub.
Well, it says which show from a previous decade. It doesn't say which...
previous decade, not the previous decade.
No, previous decade.
Fair assessment.
Yeah. as far as a cartoon that it's comparable to in a previous decade, I would have to say I know people are going to kill me for this. I would compare it to The Adventures of Batman and Robin, Casey Kasem and Adam West.
I think more modern contemporaries, it's very comparable to the Superhero Squad show.
Oh, no. Superhero Squad is way better.
What? Lies.
You heard
Lies
me.
And slander.
Superhero Squad is way better than this. But again, Superhero Squad. But again,
no, I won't let you get away with that one.
Shut up. Superhero, this is my show, goddammit. I can get away with whatever the hell I want to. Superhero Squad, that directly aims at kids. And sure, there's certain comic book references in there at some, you know, during that two seasons of that show. But that show is directly aimed at kids. Where this one, where Brave and the Bold is aimed at both old comics, you know, Silver Age DC fans and kids alike.
I'm not sure why that matters.
It does.
Pretty sure it doesn't.
It does.
The other show that I find this to be a contemporary to, and I know you didn't like this show, the mid-2000s Teen Titans. You take out the whole... You take out the anime-ish stuff, and it's very similar to the Teen Titans show.
I'm going to go on record right now. I would marathon Brave and the Bold straight through before ever watching Teen Titans ever again. Brave and the Bold is hands down 10 times better than Teen Titans.
Yeah, I would say it was better.
Yes.
But I would say it's better than the Superhero Squad show too, but yeah.
Yes, it is.
But of modern superhero shows of the past, you know, couple years, it's and this is post Justice League Unlimited days.
Yeah.
I would say my top two is Spectacular Spider-Man and Brave and the Bold.
That's cool. That's a fair assessment. All right, so we are going to be the IGN replacement crew. We have TV's Mr. Neil added a zero. I don't remember what it was. I think the zero was, you know, a kick in the teeth or something like that. One is don't ever watch this show at all. Two is the show is worth watch if you come across it. Three is you should definitely like watch it on Netflix or, you know, DVR it or whatever else. And four is you need this on DVD as soon as possible. So 1 to 4, what do you give it?
I'd give it a 4. If for no other reason, then it's not rerunning anywhere. You basically have to get the DVDs or the iTunes or the Zune or whatever.
Yeah.
In order to watch the show, and I think people should watch the show.
I'd give it a 2. It's worth a watch if you come across it. there are certain episodes, like I said before, the Batmite episodes, those are awesome. The Super
Chill of the Night.
Chill of the Night, that was a good episode. Super Batman and Planet X, only for the fact that Kevin Conroy voiced a alternate Batman.
That was great.
Yeah, that was
great.
So
you got to see the last episode of this show. It is.
Oh yes, most definitely.
It's got Henry Winkler as Ambush Bug, which is even all the obscure characters.
Yeah,
Ambush Bug.
Yeah, that outside of like the first 5 episodes when it first premiered. The very last episode is the only one I ever watched again on TV. Because I had to catch the Kevin Conroy episode, the Super Batman episode. I had to catch that, you know, through YouTube and whatever else just to be able to see it. Because I didn't really care that much for this show when it was airing. And I was like, oh, God, another episode of this.
I really wish I had latched onto the show earlier. I blame mostly on the fact that I didn't have cable from like 2009 until 2011. Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and blame it on that, because when this show was first starting up, I was like, this is okay. And then I didn't have cable, so it became rather difficult to keep up with the episodes.
Yeah.
And I, you know, it just kind of fell off my radar for a long time. And then I came back to it and was just amazed at how much I enjoyed the show. And now I'm rewatching the earlier episodes because I got the DVDs. And I'm just like, yeah, not every episode is fantastic, but they're all very watchable.
Yeah, they are. Some of them, not all of them, but some of them. As far as, like, it's, I guess it only, well, it only had 3 years, so I mean, there really isn't a legacy for this show, but in other media, it's got
its
own
comic book. That's the other reason why people should get it, because you're probably never going to see it again.
Yeah.
How often do you see the Batman?
Yeah.
Hardly, never.
Exactly.
Every now and then, Cartoon Network, for whatever reason, plays the Batman versus Dracula around Halloween. And that is the only exposure that show has gotten in like 3 years.
Yep.
I think Brave and the Bold at best will end up rerunning on Boomerang.
Oh yeah, most likely.
It definitely suits Boomerang.
Oh yeah, it'll definitely
all those Hanna-Barbera shows for sure.
Yeah.
But if it doesn't air there, you pretty much have to rely on DVDs and, you know, digital download.
In January 2009, the first issue of Batman the Brave and the Bold, as far as a comic book, was released. The comic book follows the same format as the show, starting off with a brief teaser segment at the start of the book, with features Batman teaming up with additional hero for short adventure, unrelated to the rest of the issue. So that was, you know, it's got its own comic book series. As far as DVD releases, I'm actually just going to go to TV shows on DVD and look at it. As far as season releases, Season 1 Part 1, Season 1 Part 2, and Season 2 Part 1 have all been released. Season 2 Part 2 is scheduled to be released later this month on the 20th of March.
Yeah, also, people should definitely pick that one up because it has the episode that didn't air.
Oh, cool.
The Mask of Mattis Malone.
Oh, sweet.
Which has the Birds of Prey's musical number.
Awesome. Yeah. And it has, as far as individual episode releases, it has volume 1, 2, and 3, which I assume
nobody should have bought those.
I know.
They're for kids.
And it also has Best of Green Lantern. Why does he get a Best of?
Well, anyway. Because Green Lantern didn't have a cartoon until just recently.
Yeah. Go ahead.
It had an episode from Superman, the animated series. I think it had some Justice League episodes. It had the Green Lantern, I think, maybe.
I love the Green Lantern.
That was a great episode of Duck Dodgers. Duck Dodgers was a great show. Why isn't that on DVD? Why, Warner? Why do you make me sad? You take so much of my money, and yet you don't give me everything I want.
It also, Batman Brave and the Bold also has its own video game. It's inspired by the show. Released on September 7th, 2010 for the Wii and Nintendo DS by WayForward Technologies. The game is a 2D side-scroller for two players. Gentleman Ghost, Mongol, Catman, Gorilla Grodd, and Catwoman are major villains in the game. It also features the Rogues, Two-Face, Clock King, Copperhead, Sinestro, Astroth, and Starro. DCBeyond.com launched a Unity 3D Batman Brave and the Bold game on May 6, 2010 for fans to play free online. The site description reads, "The wildest rides in Gotham City have been invited to the Gotham Grand Prix." Oh, so it's basically Brave and the Bold racing is basically what it is. It's also got a soundtrack for Brave and the Bold, the follow-up to the episode Mayhem of a Music Miser, or Meister, whatever. A soundtrack for the episode was released on October 24th, 09. and it's basically an 8-track soundtrack, so that was kind of cool.
Yeah, it's pretty fun. I got that off iTunes.
Yep. So there you go. That's where you can find it now, and we are going to take a quick break. And go to some commercials. I can't talk tonight. Damn it.
Dreamcast will be back after these messages.
This belonged to my mother.
Have it your way. It's too bad the kid's going to lose his parents over a family knickknack.
The only thing he's going to lose is the fear of criminal scum like you. Huh? What a sad planet, plagued by both crime and poor building codes.
Stranger, you just cost me a big score, and now you're gonna pay the price.
It's you who must pay the price for your life of crime.
What? Deja vu?
The Bat Radio, one of my better crime-fighting inventions.
I don't believe it. Who are you? Who are you? I'm Batman of Earth. I've been stranded here.
Then welcome to the planet Zur-En-Arr. Here, I'm Batman.
Given the infinite possibilities in an infinite universe, it's logical two Batmen would come to exist on two separate planets.
Then I assume, as a crime fighter, that you too were inspired by one of these.
Something like that.
It's good to have you here. I can always use more help keeping Gothropolis safe. At least until we can figure out a way to get you home.
Batman, do you read me?
Welcome to a collaboration between the Geekcast Radio Network and the Pop Culture Network. This is From the Command Center, the podcast. I am your host, TFG and Mike from the GCRN, and joining me is Zordon himself. Scotty Cash.
That's right, Scotty Cash from the Pop Culture Network, and today we're introducing you to the audio version of From the Command Center, the podcast that will tell our intake on Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, the episodes, the seasons, and all that other good stuff.
Do you like retro shows? Did you grow up in either the 80s or the 90s? Then tune into Telecast, GeekCastRadio.com's newest podcast. Join us here on the Telecast as we revisit some of your favorite shows, such as Clarissa Explains It All, Salute Your Shorts, Saved by the Bell, and much, much more, only on GeekCastRadio.com.
You can now hear the Geekcast Radio Network while on the go with Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher is a free news and talk mobile app available for your smartphone. And when you download Stitcher to hear Geekcast Radio, you'll have a chance to win money. Downloading is quick and easy. Just find Stitcher in the App Store. During registration, hit the promo code box and enter Geekcast Radio, all one word, to get automatically entered to win $100. The latest episodes of the shows will be waiting for you in your favorites. You'll get access to lots of other amazing shows, too. Always available to you on demand, no syncing. It's Stitcher Smart Radio. Don't forget to enter promo code Geekcast Radio when you register.
Now back to Geekcast.
So thank you, Bubbles. Yes, we are back. Bubbles from Powerpuff Girls does all our bumpers of be right back and welcome back. So
that is so cool. You guys yes. get the best guest stars.
I love Tara Strong. So final words on Brave and the Bold. You can go first.
I love this show. It was the action cartoon that I most look forward to every Friday night for the longest time. So I would be sad if it never had happened. It's not going to have much of a legacy. If people don't buy it, it's going to fall to obscurity. But I hope people enjoy it for what it is. You know, it's not pretending to be Batman the Animated Series. It never claimed to be. So if you can get beyond this isn't Batman the Animated Series, I think most people can enjoy it.
I love how every single Batman cartoon over the decades is so different from each other.
That's true.
You have Adventures of Batman and Robin in the 80s, which was essentially an animated version of Batman 66. You have BTAS, you have Batman Beyond, which was, granted, it was furthering that story from BTAS as far as the, you know, what the hell happened to Bruce Wayne after 40, 50 years, you know, and then you have The Batman, which is completely different, and then you have this, which is completely different, and now you've got, I don't even know if it's premiered yet, that new...
Beware the Batman, the CGI show, where Katana is going to be his first sidekick.
Oh, my God.
Knee-jerk reaction. No, sir, I don't like it.
No, sir, I don't want another.
That's what Mr. Horse says. No, sir, I don't like it.
My overall final thoughts on Brave and the Bold, I can handle it in doses, but it's not something that I'm going to seek out and watch a marathon of. It just isn't. Do you have anything before I close the show? Do you have anything you want to pimp out? Websites, podcasts, YouTube channel, whatever?
I'm always rambling on the Twitter at Sketch1984. And I do the scratch cast for the Real Scratch Pad at therealscratchpad.wordpress.com. And I'm currently doing reviews for nickandmore.com under my real name, Andrew T. Hinkson. And I'll be putting up a review of Transformers Prime probably by the time this episode's up. I just did a review of the Series 2 G.I. Joe.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, wow. Oh,
be careful what you say here, because Steve Megaton loves G.I. Joe Series 2.
Really? Wow. Yes. Cobra Commander and Maurice LaMarche voicing so many characters is all that saved that show for me. Never been that big of a fan of G.I. Joe, but that was the B team.
Wow.
And I will defend that. No matter
Geekcast Radio, the Geekcast Radio Network does not support the opinions of Sketch 1984.
Wow. Oh,
boy. I think you just opened a can of worms.
Did I?
Did I think so.
People are really willing to fight for the quality of G.I. Joe Series 2.
I don't know if they'll fight for the quality of it, but they'll fight for the nostalgia of it, I guess.
Okay. You know, that's fair. I mean, it's like, to me, it's like the not quite as good episodes of Ninja Turtles.
Oh, Lord. We're not getting into that.
Thank you for joining us.
We're not getting into that. We're just not. Thank you for joining us here on Tooncast Beyond. There are still ways to get in contact with us to leave feedback for the show. Visit the website, geekcastradio.com. You can comment on each episode post. Leave the show's feedback in iTunes, please. Do this. Follow us on Twitter. The show name there is Tooncast Beyond. Mine is TFJ and Mike. And again, what is your Twitter?
Sketch1984.
Become a fan on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/geekcastradionetwork. Call the voicemail line. Tell us the show you're leaving the message for and your name. 502-526-5821. We hope you enjoyed this episode of Tooncast Beyond and wish you'll join us next time when we will be introducing you to DeLorean Time with Mega Man. For now, I am TFG1 Mike with
Sketch1984.
Thank you for listening. Until next time.
Dum-na-na, super fighting robot, dum-na-na, big man. Love that intro.
Next Saturday night, we're sending you back to the future.
Super fighting robot.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.